All right. Welcome to New Beginnings. And we're celebrating you and celebrating the Lord. I'm so thankful that you're here. And we're going to hit the ground running today. And I just love you. I'm excited to share with you. Somebody that hasn't been here asked me, well, what's this series about that you're doing? And I said, well, it's about discovering who you are. And they said, well, what does that mean? I said, this series means that your life's going to get better when you discover who you are. And Jesus tells us who we are in Him. Okay? We look into the Word of God and see Jesus. And the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus and shows us who we are in Him. And when we discover who we are, it's connected to your destiny. It's amazing. You see who you are in Christ, see who Jesus is, and see who you are in Him. Then I want to tell you what comes up now, next, without you even trying, is that your destiny, hey, that you're to bring Him honor and glory. And you get practical direction on how to do that. There's a lot of people that want to know, what do I do, what do I do, what do I do? Well, I'll tell you, you see Jesus in the Word, you see who you are in Christ, that comes. Your destiny comes after your discovery. And so it's very, very exciting. And you see some wow because the kingdom reality becomes evident to you. You may see glimpses of it in your journey, but when you discover who you are in Christ, I mean, it's like you're in a fresh pair of glasses. It's like your eyes are open like never before. And you see a kingdom reality all around you that you haven't seen before. And it's in the invisible. And it's very exciting because you see what God's up to in His heartbeat and what He's doing and what He wants to do. But here's the truth. The Word of God is so powerful. He has put faith in His Word. And He's put His power in His Word. Okay? And Jesus and His Word will transform you. That's what this series is about, discovering who we are in Christ. And you see this picture here, spirit, soul, and body. But I'm here to tell you that, you know what? He will transform you from the inside out. And New Beginnings Fellowship is a great place to soak up the Word of God. I told a manager of an auto repair place this week. I told him, I said, you know, New Beginnings is a great place to soak up His Word. And he said, well, why is that? And I said, well, it goes something like this. There's a lot of love, there's a love atmosphere, and there's a lot of peace. And in the atmosphere of love and peace, I want to tell you, God's Word can have dynamic effect. Because we're in a place to receive, all right? It's a whole lot easier for people to receive in an atmosphere of love and acceptance and peace. And I want to tell you, it happens. And so we're learning how to apply the Word in real life situations. And I'm thankful that we are a people of the Word, that we love the Word. The grace class on Sunday mornings, there's a great Word there. Okay? Great preacher, great Word. I want to tell you, it's worth driving for. It's worth getting here for. Soaking it up on Wednesday nights, Word of God. I appreciate and honor Barbara for Sunday morning class. Appreciate Pastor Don about Wednesday night meeting. They just finished 3 years, right? 3 years going through the Word of God. Okay, reading through it, studying it, sharing. Pastor Don did quite a bit of teaching. A lot of people shared, but I want to tell you, 3 years, cover to cover. Okay, now that's beautiful. That's even faster than J. Vernon McGee used to do. He used to take 5 years. Okay? But I love what's happening there. Okay? And there's just something there with it. I want to tell you, the people that attend Sunday morning, I want to tell you, they're better off. Because the Word, the seed of the Word of God is incorruptible. It has dynamic effect. Okay? Hey, the people that attend Wednesday nights, I want to tell you, the ones that's been there the last 3 years, they're better off. Okay? They see more of the kingdom of God operating in their life than they did 3 years before. Because the Word of God is so powerful. And New Beginnings Fellowship is a home for like-minded believers that are hungry to grow. If you're hungry to go, if you're hungry to grow, come to church. Okay? I want to tell you, we've got a lot to offer as far as the Word, and that's what makes the difference. Okay? Abundant life. The Word of God results in abundant life. Is there anyone here who does not want more abundant living? I want to tell you, hey, this he's good. Now, if you're looking for entertainment, we're not the best place for entertainment. That's not our goal. Okay? If you're looking for a polished 20-minute sermon, you're not going to get that here. Even if my wife is sharing the Word of God, you're not going to get that here. Okay? I want to tell you, you know, and those have their place. We're not being critical and throwing stones anywhere. Those have their place. I mean, the last one that I went to was invited to go to, and I'm sitting there, and the 20-minute polished sermon came, and I'm going, wow, that's impressive. I can't do that. Okay, but that's not really my goal. There's a big difference between getting a snack through a drive-in and sitting down to a buffet meal, too. Okay, but I'm just telling you, there ought to be a hunger for the Word, and if you're hungry for the Word, this could be a good place. We've got a number of opportunities for you to get good Word. These pastors preach and teach the Bible class Sunday morning, Bible class on Wednesday night, and if you're interested in being a family, this would be a place to come to. All right, and I know there's places that you can go. That place that I'm talking about, and I'm not telling you what state it was in, but it wasn't Texas, that I went to recently, and the 20-minute polished sermon, I'm telling you, you were in there and out of there in an hour. We were in the parking lot and back in the parking lot in an hour. You know, that's not going to happen here. Okay? But really and truly, okay, I was impressed with it. Okay? But I want to tell you, part of the problem was that people will say, that, you know what, I'm a number. I'm not connected. I'm not involved. I want to tell you, you can come here and be family. Now, if you're looking for a place to hide, this is probably not the best place. Because people here will love you into the kingdom and get in the middle of your business. What are we praying for this week? How can we love on you this week? Give us a report about what the Lord's doing. Well, it's hard to hide when people are doing that, but that's healthy, okay? But I'm telling you, be here, take notes. Part of the problems that we discuss as pastors is it seems like the people that need it the worst come the least. That's a hard thing in ministry. That's a hard thing. I want to tell you, the 10-10 meeting, it's healthy to receive communion. Jesus said so. Okay, it's healthy to lay hands on one another and pray for one another. That's Jesus' life. Okay, and you know, lo and behold, some of those that I talked to during the week that need it the most come and ask for it the least. But that's what we're here for. So be here, take notes, meditate on the Lord, share about, hey, it's on podcast now. That's easier for a generation of people. And I've gotten reports back from it already, but, you know, they can go on and do podcasts. Don't ask me how to make that happen. Ask Patrick, ask my wife, ask anybody else younger than me. But we still got CDs. Hand out CDs. Be a part of the track team. Hand out the work. Get the word out. It's not the messenger. It's the message. Get the word out. Spread the testimony of Jesus in your life. Okay, the testimony, your testimony, what Jesus is doing or what he's done in your life, what he's doing in your life, that is powerful gospel to people. Because that's telling people that in the right now, this is what God has done in your life, and I want to tell you, that's the loving kindness of God. It's a testimony of God's love in your life, God's victory, God's love, God's power in your life. And people need to hear that. Okay, we're to declare the works of God. And declare the word of God. I want to tell you, it's very, very powerful. Okay? So go brag on Jesus. Go brag on his bride. Go brag on the church. Don't brag on the preacher. You can brag on the message. Don't brag on the messenger. Okay, if you do that too much, you'll find yourself asking forgiveness from the Lord. And it might create an expectation on people that they might be disappointed. But if you brag on Jesus, he will honor it. Okay, you're sharing his glory with people, and they'll be touched by that. They've seen pastors. They want to see Jesus. So, if we're not dominated by the Word of God, we emphasize the Word of God, because if we're not dominated by it, that we've learned in this series, and walking in the Spirit, being dominated by the Word of God, if we're not doing that, we're dominated by the flesh. It's either one or the other. Now, you may put one foot one side one day or part of the day, another foot does, but you're not making progress that way. Okay? We cannot be dominated by the flesh and grow in God. Walk in the abundant life. Be effective for the kingdom of God if we operate by what we see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. It's got to be deeper than that. When we operate by our senses, the flow of divine life stays off. I mean, the valve is turned off because we don't believe what we can't see. That's where we park, okay? And it's possible to limit the love life and the abundant life of Jesus because we operate by the flesh. This happens because there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that don't understand the change that happened in our born-again spirits when we received Christ. We don't know who we are in Christ. We limit the life of the Lord in us and through us, and we settle. Well, I can't feel it, so it must not be real. I can't see it, so it must not be real. Well, I know it's real to them, but it's not real to me. Okay? This is the truth. This is what the Bible says. Old things have passed away. All things become new in your spirit the moment you were born again. This is for everyone that's received Christ. Okay? Now, everything that you'll ever need in the Christian life is already there in your spirit. And our part is to renew our mind with the Word of God. We do that right over here in this mirror of the Word of God, and it's released. Okay? We got to recognize that the Christian life is not a process, and a number of Christian groups make this a work ethic of trying to get something from God. The Christian life is not a process of getting something from God. The Bible emphasis that we've covered in this series is to practice the process, renewing the mind, learning how to release what we've already received. It makes a difference if you believe you've already got it, that Jesus is in you in full measure, that his love is in you in full measure, his peace, his joy, his provision, his healing. Hey, everything that you need in this life, he's already provided. It's in him, and he's in you in full measure. If you're convinced of that, then you take away one of the enemy's greatest weapons, which is doubt. It's, if you're convinced that you already got him and everything is in him, in you, then it's hard for the enemy to come up and speak to you, you know, you're not loved. What are you talking about? I know I'm loved. I'm convinced. See? Okay, so it takes away that doubt effect. And that makes a big difference. And we want to operate in that, in the confidence of the Lord. And so it's very, very important. So a lot of doubts whipped when you believe that you've already received in him, in you. And so then we don't wait on our emotions or our mind or our body to say, hey, it's real. You don't have to wait for your mind to say it's real for you to start practicing the reality of it. All right? You don't have to wait for your body to vote. You don't have to wait for your emotions to cause a chill bump. Okay? It's very, very important that we don't wait to believe till it's physical. All right? The truth is God's placed everything inside of us. In your born-again spirit, the full measure of Jesus. Matter of fact, we covered in this series that the fullness of the Godhead, Scripture says, is in us. Now, I want to tell you, that's good. You can't get any more full than that full. Okay, the fullness of God. And so the rest of your Christian life is learning how to get from him. Not learning how to get from him, but discovering how to release it. Big difference. Big difference on how you pray and how you operate. Paul was praying for his friend Philemon. And this is the prayer he prayed. I want you to catch this because this fits for us right here in this series. Philemon 1:6. And I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith. Now, just let's park right there a second because I want us to grab this step by step. And so the participation in and the sharing of your faith means that you're operating, that you're submission to, that you're cooperating, that you're practicing, that you're communicating, that you're fellowshipping on this. And if you practice this in the sharing of your faith, and the sharing has to do with the confessing, you know, when we do the confessions of a new creation, this is part of what you're doing. You're saying with your mouth what Jesus said about you in the Word. And when we begin to practice that, it has an effect. And this is what it does, that your faith may produce effectual, and may be effectual, that it may produce. In other words, it'll have fruit to it. Okay? You may seem like in your human mind that this is not connected, but I want to tell you, by the Word, it's connected. All right? And so, this is what we do. It will promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours. This is what this whole series has been talking about. We get into the Word, we see what Jesus said in the Word, and that it's in us right here, and that every good thing, everything of God, every good thing is in us. And we get to recognize it. That is ours, our identification with Christ Jesus. See, you've got to go back to the spirit part where the oneness is in Jesus. All right? And so this is what the sharing is. It releases. You say, well, how do we release what's in us into our soul, into our body, and outside into others? Well, this is part of what the sharing is. It's the confessing. It's the cooperating. It's the believing. It's renewing our mind to agreeing what God says about us, even though it may not make human sense or we don't see it with our physical eyes yet. Okay? When it's effectual, it means it's effective. It begins to work and produce. This is what faith does. Okay? You don't have to understand how it happens to begin to practice it. We acknowledge every good thing that is in us in Christ Jesus. And I want to tell you, it looks absolutely opposite when we start this. Okay? You may be looking at a doctor's report that says negative, negative, negative. But you go back and identify with Christ that he's your healer and that you have been healed, past tense, by the stripe of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus. And you know what? We identify and we confess and we agree with what he's doing. And by the confessing and the agreeing with, participation of, the communicating, the fellowshipping of that, then you know what? We see it. We see it. Okay? We see him as the healer. And when you see him as the healer with your name on it, I want to tell you, it makes a big difference. Faith then rises up, activates, and this is what it produces. It produces what Jesus says about you, what Jesus is in you. And it also causes you to see more. Anybody interested in seeing more? I don't think we've but just barely caught a glimpse of all the good things that Jesus has provided for us. I'm going to take just a little time out here, and I'm going to say this is what Tim says. I can't back this up with Scripture. This is just Tim's thoughts. But I had this thought the other day when I was meditating on that he'll wipe away all tears. We get to heaven, he'll wipe away all tears. And I thought, I don't know why the tears would even wait that long. Heaven's so great. So amazing, the presence, the joy, the peace. But I'm just Tim talking. Okay? I wonder if there's a acknowledgement of reality. I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm just talking about an acknowledgement of reality. We get to heaven that, wow. Because we'll know him. We'll know what he knows. Because we'll see him as he is. And there'll be that moment of recognition where that, you know what? All this time,
healing was this close. All this time, peace to minister to broken hearts was right here. I mean, available and just to line up. And all this time, the boldness of the Holy Spirit to speak the Word of God with power in situations that I completely ignored or said, well, listen, you know, nothing I can do, or I was too embarrassed. Or, you understand what I'm saying? When I walked away from people that were sick and I didn't pray for them. And you know, just an immediate recognition that all that He is was right here. And now in heaven, I'm seeing it's here. And it was here. And I didn't acknowledge. Now, I don't know. That may be just Tim. There may not be a touch to that. But I can understand the wiping away of the tears, Lord. Lord, it's okay, son. That's absolved. That's paid for. That's taken care of. Rejoice and enjoy my presence to the uttermost. I'm just telling you, I don't know. It's just a thought that crossed my mind. It's okay to share my thoughts, right? Okay, so don't write that down in concrete. Okay. Look at John 1:16. For out of His fullness, abundance, we have all received. Is that past tense? Do you see that? We have all received. Received. It's done. It's right here. We received Christ. We've received. And I tell you what, if you can leave just having that, It'll affect you. All had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing that we don't even have names for, I don't think yet. And even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Wow! Man, when you talk about overflow of all that Jesus is that's in us, we don't even know how to describe it. John did a good job, but I'm just telling you. Okay? There's so much more for us to operate in. I want us to catch that as a church. I want you to catch it as an individual. I want you to catch it for your family. Man, under New Covenant, we've all received, past tense, His fullness. The moment you were born again, we received the same measure of Jesus. Pastor Don didn't get more than you. Okay? The Apostle Paul didn't get more than you. They may be using more than we are, but they didn't get more. We received the same measure of Jesus. I want to tell you, He is our faith. You say, well, I don't have much faith. Yes, you do. Because He's given you a measure of faith, and it's the faith of Christ. I want to tell you, His faith's enough. And it's not about the amount anyway. That's human thinking, you know, about the bigger, bigger, bigger. No. It is a measure. And that measure is dynamite power. It's not, don't think about the size. Think about who He is. Okay? Because Jesus said, get off that mindset, because even the size of a grain of mustard, a seed of mustard. See, it's not big. We think big. No, it's not big. It's the power. Okay? His power is more than enough. The moment you were born again, we receive it. We're complete. The Bible says we're complete in Him, in our spirit. And so here's the adventure. And this is what I hope that you're in on and you're catching and beginning to practice. And you may need to hear this stuff over and over to let it catch. But let's learn how to release what's in our spirit into our soul and our body, because it's not just for us, it's to others. You see, this was where I think the prosperity movement missed. They shared some truths about the fullness of God and the provision of God and the blessing of God, but they stopped when He said, it's for you. No, it is, but it's not. It's not just for you. The very fullness of the measure of God that's in you that the Lord wants to come from your spirit into your soul and body, it needs to go out.
It needs to be a funnel of blessing, a measure of blessing that doesn't just stop with you, but it's like a gusher, like a water hose, like a fire hose that's splashing out on other people. Because other people need to see Jesus. Other people need to see the living testament of Jesus in your life, the living epistle of your life, that Jesus is in there. So hey, the way our faith becomes effective and productive and becomes operative, did I say it right? Is by acknowledging and communicating and releasing every good thing. Somebody say spiritual blessings. That's in your spirit, in Christ. Now, look. Just listen. Just listen to this. This brings supernatural results. That's bigger than us. And that's what we want. But we don't want a church that some man builds based on some man's personality or some man's brains. We don't want that. We don't want a church based on entertainment. Okay? Or social gatherings or Funville. But what we want is that we want a church that Jesus touches, that Jesus builds, that Jesus manifests. And I want to tell you, that's what he wants in our life. I'm telling you, whatever multiplies the kingdom in your life builds the church in this life. It brings supernatural results. You know why? Because it transforms us into his image. See, his word, his spirit, our cooperation, our practicing releasing, practicing this by faith, confessing, cooperating, communicating, releasing those spiritual blessings by faith. I want to tell you, that does something in us that we can't do for ourselves, that no man can do. Okay? Transforms us into his image. And the Bible says it's by the word of God and renewing our mind. This is why that I, after the teens, to be in the word of God. Now, some of them tell me, I got homework. I don't care. Your homework is just going to last for a year. The Word of God, spiritual exercise in the Word of God, will affect you for all eternity. You see the difference? But I've got some that haven't done a quiet time yet. But you know what? Hey, if it's one thing I've learned with teens over 43 years, you be consistent. You be consistent. I want to tell you, this one right here didn't catch it the first year. Didn't catch it the second year. But he's catching it now. Okay? And I want to tell you something. It's going to have great effect. It already is. Am I right, Dad? You seeing some difference there? I'm telling you, it will have great effect. But if they can capture this as a teenager and walk their adult life, growing in the overflow and abundant life of God, well, the church will look different. Move right along. Okay. But it brings supernatural results. Now, I want to tell you, renewing our mind with the Word of God is something all of us can do. Okay? Because it's something the Holy Spirit helps us with. But it's not going to happen if you don't get in the Word of God. I'm telling you, taking the Bible and setting it up on the shelf or in the closet or leaving it in the car till next Sunday or whatever, you know, it's not going to do it. Wearing it on top of your head while you sleep ain't going to do it. You got to open it up. You got to put that seed in your heart. And that's something that even though we can help you with, we can't do it for you. You've got to come to the place where you feed yourself. And I tell you, let the Lord just do that. And it's not based on our works. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we earn. But he will renew our mind and he'll transform us. This is what he does. We receive it by practicing, renewing the mind. Hey, you know what it takes is meditation on the Lord. It takes practicing his presence and meditating on the Lord and letting the Lord speak to us. It takes confessing it like Tony's teaching us. Hey, look, if the only time you do that is on Sunday, you're not receiving the benefit of that. Okay? You need it more when you're driving in the Metroplex than you do on Sunday morning. But it's powerful, okay? You're identifying with Christ, okay? Give your allegiance to him. And I want to tell you, that makes doubt weak. It's not based on our works. It's based not based on our performance. I'm telling you, the kingdom of God operating in our lives is not based on our works, that we need to do something in order to get God to do something. But it's just focusing on what Christ has already done. If we'll just do that, I'm telling you, see Christ in the Word, see God in the Word. Focus on what He's done, His works. And we look into the mirror of the Word of God, okay? We don't see it in the physical realm, but we focus. That's something all of us can do. I'm telling you, I've had teenagers, 13 years old, that's done this, that's caught this and begin to practice this. And it's made a big difference in their life, okay? It'll make a big difference in your life because it's what God set up. It's God's way. And it's important for us to focus. So instead of begging God, I'm just going to give you an example because we're going to do a healing series before the year's over. We're going there. Amen. Next series is going to be about how to park in faith, his rest. But I want to tell you, we're going there. And all this is building upon that. And if you miss this, you may have trouble with that. It kind of builds upon it. But it goes something like this. Instead of us begging God to heal us, we focus on Him as our healer. And we use our confession that He's our healer and that I'm healed by His stripes. You say, well, it don't make sense. It don't have to. It's by faith. Okay? Not by feeling. Not by the physical. By the invisible. Okay? We confess Him as our healer. And as our faith is exercised toward that, we acknowledge it. It's something God does. He shows it to us. He shows it with our name on it. It's easier sometimes to see it with somebody else's name on it. But I'm telling you, when you seek the Lord in His Word, in the mirror of His Word, He shows you Jesus as your healer, as Tim Hall's healer. And when you see Him as your healer with your name on it, I want to tell you, it's easier for that to be released through your spirit, to your soul, and to your body, and to others. Okay? Amen, Brother Tim. Amen. Well, this will all be taken care of at the second coming. I want to tell you, when you die and go, or you die or you go to be with Him, He returns, that change in your soul is going to be instantly completed. Amen. And when the Lord returns, I can't explain it all, but your spirit and soul will be united with the glorified body. And at that time, all three will be perfect. That's the Lord's business. It's not Tim's business. I don't have to explain it. I can just point to him about it. But until then, until you go to heaven or until the Lord returns, the Christian life is about renewing your mind. That's something you can participate in. It's a spiritual exercise. You meditating on God in the Word, seeing Jesus in the Word. And the Holy Spirit showing you yourself in Christ. That transforms your mind. Transforms your whole being. Okay? It causes the change to take place. It causes you to receive. And what's in you to be released when you renew your mind. Because you're transformed. That's what God does. And so that's important for all of us. All of us can do that. Because we need to experience the benefits of salvation now. All right? Now, somebody might have a little lazy point of view and say, well, if I'm going to end up in heaven, if I'm going to end up complete and perfect and it's going to be done when I get to heaven, why do all that work now? Well, it's not all work now. It is some exercise in it. But what it is cooperating with the Lord. And it's receiving the kingdom of God that He paid for, what He paid for on the cross. It's receiving the kingdom of God being manifested in you now. Amen. It's receiving all. This is part of what our adventure is to receive what He is in us into our soul and our body and out to others. You say, well, is it necessary? Well, it is for the kingdom to be multiplied. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. You know, don't. There are many that are receiving Christ, and they're just going to coast right on into heaven. Well, it's not by works. And I tell you what, I believe it will. They'll coast right on in. And once you get there, it's complete. But I want to tell you, there is something about rewards in heaven. I can't even explain them all, but it's real. And I want to tell you, the few moments, the blink of an eye that we have here, we're going to be thankful for millions and millions of years. What we believed for. What we received, what we released, okay, from our spirit, soul, and body, and into others.
what you do for others is going to be celebrated for all eternity. Okay? So that's a big difference. The kingdom is manifested in you and through you for others. That brings them glory. We want to bring our king glory. That's our purpose. That's our purpose.
He told us to occupy till he comes. That's what this is about. Okay? Applying, acknowledging, receiving, and releasing it to others. Affecting others with the kingdom. Advance the kingdom. Till he comes. This is what the description of a more than conqueror is, or a more than overcomer is. It's someone that's receiving and releasing what all God's got in us through our soul and body and to others. That's what's called an overcomer. He didn't call us to be a survivor. He called us to be an overcomer. So this is why we're supposed to use our chooser. That's the valve. We have the chooser in our mind. Or if you want to, I'm saying Jesus loves you. If you want to, you can stay in the wilderness. Yeah, just, you know, stay in the wilderness. Yeah, he's got a promised land for us, abundant living for us, all that's in us for us and for others. But I want to tell you, if you want to, you can stay in the wilderness. Just circle that baby over and over again. I'm telling you, God's there. God's loving you. God's blessing you. But I want to tell you something. There's so much more for you to enjoy, to experience, and to share when you're in the promised land. Oh, wait. Is your heart still toward Egypt? You mean you're in the wilderness, but you have these drawings for Egypt. Oh, if I could just have an onion. If I could just have some garlic. No, they got there. If I could just, oh, we just missed the onions and garlic in Egypt. Oh, so you want to go back? Get under Pharaoh's thumb. Be a slave. Huh? Remember what it's like to be a slave? I want to tell you, you've experienced Jesus. He rescued you from slavery. And if you're in the wilderness, you don't have to stay there. There's a promised land for us. But if you choose the wilderness, wait, you want to go back to Egypt? Oh, let's go get another night with them frogs. I miss that bass tone of the frog. Let's go back and be with the frogs. Right? No, I'm telling you, he has saved you for more than that. He didn't just save you for heaven. Great benefit. All eternity with Jesus. Being complete in him. But hey, he said it's now. It's on. And overcomers and more than conquerors practice now what he's done for us. Okay, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I'm going to wrap up with this. So let's catch this. This is where I was headed to. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you. I'm telling you, when he's appealing and he's begging, I want to tell you, this is so important. Okay, this is so important. In view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members, faculties. This is your soul and your body. Okay? Hey, how about this faculty, the one between the ears? As a living sacrifice. In other words, where we say, hey, this mind belongs to the Lord. It's not mine to choose to go play wherever it wants to go play, because flesh draws. When that flesh is drawing for the mind to go play where it shouldn't go play, you say, wait. This is not my mind. This mind's been dedicated to the Lord Jesus. So this mind doesn't have a right. I've yielded my rights. This mind doesn't have a right to go play there, because now it's a living sacrifice. It's dedicated to the Lord, holy, devoted, consecrated to the Lord, and well-pleasing to God. This pleases God when you surrender your mind to him. Surrender your heart, surrender your life, your body, everything that you touch. This is a reasonable service, and he sees it as spiritual worship. Wow, that's good. So here we go.
Do not be conformed to this world, this age. Don't be conformed to it. Don't be fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. There are some ways of the world that they consider normal that I want to tell you is anti-God. I want to tell you, we covered in this series that just the natural mind is death to you. Okay? All right. But be transformed. Now, we talked about how to be transformed. Renewing of our mind, Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, confessing what Jesus is in us and what He says about us, faith sparks up and we're transformed and we see more of what He has for us. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. Do you see that? Now, some of us will be satisfied with a partial renewal. We'll practice some renewing and we'll look around and say, well, I'm ahead of them. No, no. He's encouraging us for the entire mind to be renewed. This is why I'm saying, I don't think we've yet to see what the Lord looks like in a mind that's completely renewed. This is a lifetime project, but our part is to make progress on it, to be dedicated to it, to surrender to it, to cooperate with Him. New ideas, God ideas, kingdom ideas, new attitude, kingdom attitudes. I had some Tim attitude last week that was not kingdom attitude. Okay? That was wrong. I had to arrest that. Had to surrender that. Had to go back and practice being transformed. Surrendering that attitude to a Jesus attitude. So that you may prove for yourself, so that you'll see it in your own life, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Hey, this is so that you can see it in living proof in your own life, and you'll see God's desire and plan for your life. Wow! There are a lot of people that would like to see that. Here it is. So do not be conformed to this world. Now, being conformed means to be poured into the mold of. Isn't that interesting? Jesus or flesh, poured into the mold of. In this life, I'm telling you, the world will press into you, try to press you in. Flesh, all by itself. The devil. People. Come on, you know that's right. How about circumstances? Try to pressure us in. Are you going to be disturbed? Are you going to be upset? The circumstance or these people or what the devil's doing or trying to do? Or are you going to mold yourself into what Jesus says? Okay? Who are you going to yield to? We get melted. Circumstances precious. Are we going to be conformed to this world or are we going to be transformed? See, there's a difference. Conformed to the world or transformed. Pressures come. Fiery trails. I needed another juice this morning, I think. I received. Fiery trails. Thank you. Fiery trials. Testings. Disturbances. Storms. Come. They're on a trail. But they come. They come for all of us. I don't care how spiritual you are, they come. I don't care what kind of good week you've had, they come. How much time you've been in the work, they come. They come. All right? But if you are renewing your mind, you respond better. Not bitter, better. It's either bitter or better. It makes a big difference in victory or defeat. Or how long we battle it. Now look, sorrow comes. I want you to see this and hear me on this. I'm not saying we reach a place where sorrow don't come. Where we reach a place where trials don't come. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that trials come, but they don't stay. They're temporary. Look. Sorrow comes, but it's the valley of the shadow of death. It's a passing through. It needs, even though it may come to you, it needs to come through you and on out the door. In other words, you don't stay there. Okay, we were concerned about some fellow ministers, and you'll know who I'm talking about, Missy, because we was wanting to help them.
But they were grieving for a year and a half. They were in a grieving state for a year and a half, non-functioning. Okay, God didn't design that. Not for a year and a half. Grieve? Yeah. Okay, grieve. But it let it be temporary. You don't park there for a year and a half. That's not life. That's death. Okay, thank you for agreeing with me. It needs to be temporary. Let's see Ephesians 6 right quick. I think I do have time for that. Look, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Look at this. Okay, this is children. I'm leading up to something here. Because I want to tell you something. Children are worth fighting for. Yes. You're worth fighting for. Hey, conform to the world or transformed? Hey, peace is worth fighting for. Amen. Joy is worth fighting for. Hey, look, the war has been won, but the battles are still on. Yeah. And so I'm telling you, that's what a fiery trial is. Okay, sorrows come. But I want to tell you, you don't park there. You don't give up to it. You don't surrender to grief and say, here I am, sorrow, I'm yours, whenever. No. It's worth battling for, worth fighting for. So look at this. Your children are worth fighting for. Hey, look, children, obey your parents in the Lord. That is, accept their guidance and discipline as His representatives. One of the things kiddos need to know from early age is that God's backing me up because I'm agreeing with God. And He's helping you through me. And when I say to you, clean up your room, God wants you to clean up your room. When I'm saying to you, don't look at that on the computer, God's saying, don't look at that on the computer. Amen. And so, guidance and discipline. Now, the thing about discipline, boy, that is not fun. But I want to tell you, here we go, consistent. I'm telling you, consistent. Hey, you love them. So you're consistent. Hey, by teaching them, and you're representing the Lord. Because I want to tell you, if they don't learn to accept your guidance, it'll be hard for them to receive the Lord's guidance. If they don't learn to respond to your correction, discipline, correction, their heart will be hard to respond to the Lord's correction. So this is important. Listen. For this is right. Can everybody say this is right?
This is right.
I don't care what culture says. This is right. For obedience. We're talking about obedience here. Do what Dad says. What did Mom say? No, don't come to me with that. Well, what about? What did Mom say? Well, whatever Mom said, Dad says. You go do it. Now, you may have to go talk to Mom later and say, Mom, what the deal with that? You know, but not in front of the kiddos. Go get in the car and drive down the street if you have to have an adult discussion, but don't do it in front of them. But here's the deal. Listen at this. Obedience teaches wisdom. You understand? We're covering Proverbs with the teens right now. Been doing it since the first of the year. We're just finishing up chapter 3. Because there's so much, and this is in there. Because God wants you to have wisdom. Hey, are your kids, the way that they learn self-discipline is by yielding to you, submitting to you. And they learn to make that choice. I choose my parents' words over what I want. And when they do that and develop discipline, they get wisdom. And wisdom comes like this. Oh, I could do this or I could do this, but wisdom says this is the way I should go. And since I've learned how to yield to my parents, I will yield to what's right because I've learned how to yield. That's self-discipline. Amen. You see that? If they don't learn how to yield, they won't. Now I want to tell you, okay, look at this, verse 2. Oh, okay, okay. Okay, never mind verse 2. Let me just tell you something. If verse 1 is not accomplished, verse 2 won't happen. Do you hear me? No, look, this is what I'm saying. You're worth fighting for. Your family's worth fighting for. And the same way we practice renewing our mind as an individual, we practice that on a family scale. Okay? Honoring the Lord. If verse 1's practiced, verse 2 can happen, where they will honor you. Okay? All right, look at verse 10. Did I say 10? Okay, here it is. In conclusion, because that's what you want to hear about this time of the day. In conclusion. He's drawing it down. Hey, look. It's not an accident that Paul talked about husband and wife relationships. And then he talked about relationships with your children, parent-child relationships. And then he talked about work-related relationships. And then he talks about battle. You think that's an accident? You think, well, Paul was just jumping from, no. Even before the numbers put up there, it was a letter. And he had a theme going. Husband and wife, parent-child, work relationships. And he says, now battle. In conclusion, this is what you do. Because all of those are worth fighting for. In conclusion, here's how you do it. You be strong in the Lord. Here's how you battle for your kids, for your family, for your marriage, for your work relationships. You be strong in the Lord. Yes, well, Brother Tim, that's easy to say. How do we do that? Well, you draw your strength from Him. Oh, that's what we've covered in spirit, soul, and body. We draw from Him. Be empowered through your union with Him. There it is. We're in union with Him in our spirit. That's where we receive. That's where we release what He is in us. And in the power of His boundless might. And we've talked about His power. His actually resurrection power in us. And so is it victory or defeat? Here we are. It's for you. They're worth fighting for, but this is how you fight for them. I want to say this. It's a spiritual battle. It's about more than the cookies or the video game. It's more than that. It's a spiritual battle. And it's high time parents come in union, oneness. There's a lot of single parents. That single parent come in union with the Lord. Because He's promised to be a father to the fatherless. You come in union with Him and you battle. You consider it a spiritual battle for your family. You say, well, that's not my problem. My problem is finances. Spiritual battle for your finances. Take responsibility. Here it is. Huh? Well, I have to do with my marriage. Spiritual battle. Sickness in my family. Spiritual battle. Hey, give them medicine. Give them herbs. Whatever. Eat right. Exercise. Whatever. But I want to tell you, first base is right here. Spiritual battle. Need to consider it a spiritual battle for your family. What's the enemy? What are you facing? Well, sickness? Okay. Look, hey, you're looking at a guy who's failed in some of this. But I want to tell you, God's the God of recovery and restoration. And you know what? I'm back up on my feet because of Jesus. I'm going full speed ahead. And I'm trying to help you. Help others. This is what He's got for us. He's your chooser. Life or death. Life, not poison. Transformed. That Greek word transform, metamorphosis. I'm not teaching you anything. We've covered it. But it's where the cocoon. The little worm becomes a butterfly. Now, buddy, that's transformation. If the little worm was to cross the beautiful blonde's path, she'd be hollering for me to do something with it. If the butterfly crossed her path, she'd say, oh, come see. I want to tell you, that's what God does with us. Okay? At one time, we'd be the worm. People say, ooh, get him out of here. You become the butterfly, transformed by the touch of the glory of God. People say, oh, come see. Huh? And you point them to Jesus. I love that. We can change. We can be transformed. Hey, you bitter? I want to tell you, you can walk in forgiveness. Hurt? Got an achy, breaky heart? You hurt? Well, you can have a healed heart. You sick? You can be well. You defeated? You can be victorious. How do we do that? Well, by renewing our mind. You say, Brother Tim, you're taking my position lightly. No, I'm not. I'm saying what God says for you. We love you. We want to help you, but I want to tell you, you got to renew your mind. I went to a doctor this week, and he said, it's amazing. Your numbers are really looking good. He looking at my body and look at the numbers, and he said, that's amazing. I said, okay, doc. He said, and on the way out, he turned around, and he said, but I will tell you this. You need to lose some weight. I said, thank you for saying that. He said, thank you. He said, nobody tells me thank you for that. I said, you know what? You and I both deal in truth and trying to help people. And if you didn't say that, you wouldn't be a true doctor. Good doctor, because we tell the truth. Bible says, battle. Receive life. Battle the flesh. Battle the conforming of the world. You don't have to be like the other families up and down the street. You can be transformed in your family and in your life. So, whatever you choose, with this valve here, your body's going to go along with. It's the caboose. All right? And so, your mind, thoughts, and attitudes, they're going to determine whether or not you receive victory or whether or not you receive the life of God that's in your spirit or whether you're going to receive defeat or walk in death. Follow the natural realm. But if we renew our mind, we can be transformed. Doesn't that encourage you to want to be in the Word of God? I want to tell you, if you really believe this, it would be people wanting to get these scriptures and daily meditate on them, look in the Word of God, practice renewing their mind. It'd be people showing up at Pastor Tim's house on Wednesday night saying, Brother Don, where am I sitting? Because I want to be consumed with the Word of God. It'd be people showing up here on Sunday morning first to get the coffee and the donut or whatever it is and say, hey, Barbara, I want to be closest to where the Word of God, I want to be under the spout where the glory comes out. Get me here under the Word of God, and this will be a great time to get ready for the Word of God coming in the next service. You know, we just saturate ourselves. You get on the podcast, you get on the CD, and you practice listening because we renew our mind. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, I want you to stand. I want us to be a church that heaven says they followed me in this. And by faith they practiced releasing what I put in them into the world around them. Not just in their soul and body, but in the church and outside the church. There are many churches that say, I'll catch you in the sweet by and by. But I want to tell you, there's a whole lot more for us. Whatever multiplies the kingdom, affects the lost. Okay? You're not going to leave a godly heritage to your kids if you don't practice this. Practice Christianity. Practice Jesus. There's more to it than just going to church. You want to leave a godly heritage to your kids? A blessings that will be passed down through all generations? This is what you do. We release the kingdom here in the nasty now and now. We don't wait till the sweet by and by. Okay? This declares the love of Jesus to be real. This shows the world that the reality of Jesus is here and now. It's not just kept in the Bible. It's not just in heaven. But here in our life now. That's what the Lord wants. He came to show us Father, and He wants to release His work in us and through us so that we can go show the world how loving His Father is. So that they'll get to know Father. So that they can be forgiven. So that they can have fellowship with Father. He came for that. We're here for that. Let's be a part of it. Amen? Okay. We're going to pray for you. Why don't you just bow your heads right there and let us pray for you. And what Jesus says about you is the real you. The old part of you, the flesh part of you, has been trained to do the flesh stuff. But that's transformed, that's changed when we're transformed when we have our mind renewed. And so we have to unlearn and learn. But I want to tell you, the real you is the righteousness of God in Christ. The real you is the peace of Jesus. The real you is that you're loved by the Father and the love of Jesus is in you. The real you is that the provision of Christ. The real you is that you've been healed by His stripes. That's the real you. And so that's what we're standing on. Let's be a church that stands on the Word of God. And let's let God be God. Okay? I want us to answer to the Lord. Yes. For our life, for our family. Your family's worth fighting for. Let's do spiritual battle. Okay? In closing, Paul said, hey, get ready for battle. He said, receive. Love the Lord. Receive that inner power of the Lord to flow in you and through you. And you know what? He says, put on the whole armor of God. Now, when you put on the armor of God, every single piece of that armor represents Jesus. We want to do that sometime and show you how every piece of that armor represents Jesus. It's putting on Jesus, what He says He is in you. Putting it on by faith and walking in it. And the Holy Spirit shows us. Well, I love you. I bless you. Lord, I bless these precious ones in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for new beginnings as a church. Lord, I thank you that every individual here is an important element in the church, that we are a part, a living stone being built up as a spiritual house to point people to Jesus and to show people the loving Father. And so, Lord, I pray that you would cause this to be our testimony, that we receive what you are in us and that we release what you are in our body, in our soul, our body, and that, Lord, in our church life, we release what Jesus is in our church life. And, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that we understand it's not just for us, it's for all the lost to see and touch Jesus. We want to be a church that touches people with Jesus. And so, Lord, we claim this to be true. We stand against the powers and works of darkness. We understand that the war is over, but we declare battle in the name of Jesus. And we declare victory in the name of Jesus and overcoming in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, as we seek you, you give us wisdom step by step. We follow you. And all the people said, amen, amen and amen.